All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. It's just going to be me again today. So I want to break this down, and I want to break this down very quick and very simple. And then I want to spend a lot of time on the Yankees and the Mets. So, I mean, this is kind of me spending some time on the Yankees and the Mets. But Juan Soto, you know, I loved you, okay? You were certainly a great a great baseball player for the New York Yankees. That is unquestioned. But you are not Babe Ruth, okay? You did not deserve $765 million when Bobby Witt is getting paid less than half of that over 11 years, and Bobby Witt's arguably a better baseball player, and he's younger. You know, I mean, it's absurd. You wanted your own suite in Yankee Stadium. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? This is like, this is insane. I've never seen anything like it, quite frankly, before in my life, somebody asking for all this. But I hope you're happy in New York. I hope you have a lot of fun with the Mets. I hope, you know, I hope you never win a World Series. All right. I hope you never win another World Series, Soto. And Brian Cashman, I got one message for you. Go make it right. You got one shot to take all that money that you were going to spend on Soto and build a solid, better baseball team, better fundamentally, better athletically, just all around baseball team with that $760 million that you offered Juan Soto over 16 years that he turned down and went to the other team in New York for $15,765. All right. My wish list, something that has to be done. Quite frankly, if the Yankees go out and trade for Kyle Tucker, okay, the Yankees won the offseason. And the Yankees actually winded up upgrading because they already signed Max Fried, and Kyle Tucker is not, you know, when it comes to an all-around baseball player, Tucker's just as good. Tucker literally is a Gold Glover, not, you know, when Soto was nominated for the Gold Glove. That was a little weak. You know, Volpe won a Gold Glove in his rookie year, and he was not the best fielding shortstop. The Gold Glove Award is a little, you know, it's a little construed. It's not really a great award. I don't really know how, you know, they decide, you know, these metrics that they use to decide who's a finalist and who actually wins it. But what I will say is that Kyle Tucker is a much better all-around baseball player because he's a better fielder. All right, not much better, but he's a world's better fielder, and he can steal 30 bases. Okay, Soto, without a doubt, is the better eye. All right, he's going to get on base a lot more. All right, but when it comes to power and when it comes to knocking in runs and probably when it comes to average, they're very, very similar. Soto is an unbelievable hitter, but, you know, he's never going to hit 40 home runs again, not in Citi Field. And I think he's going to struggle this year. And struggling compared to what he did this past year in the Bronx, all right? I think Juan Soto's line is going to be 270, 29, and 100. And some would say it's a great year, and it sure is. But is that a $51 million year? Is that a $765 million over 15 years year? Because that's what you're going to see from Soto for the rest of his career. Him and Lindor will put up very, very similar numbers for the rest of Lindor's prime. I could promise you that. Okay? And guess what? Soto doesn't have Judge protecting him anymore. So, be interesting to see, you know, how Soto, you know, responds to not having that protection in the lineup. I mean, Judge had an all-time season last year, which could have potentially led to Soto having an all-time year. But I want to spend some time on the Yankees right now and who I think the Yankees should target with that $760 million that they offered Juan Soto. So they already went out and they acquired a pitcher in Max Fried. Max Fried's an ace, okay? There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's got the lowest ERA since 2020. The Yankees are in good shape on the pitching front when it comes to the starting rotation. I'm a little afraid that Gerrit Cole isn't going to pitch more than 60 innings this year. If you remember last year at the start of the season, he had the arm problem. I don't think that's just going to go away. Eventually, he's going to need Tommy John. I mean, I hope it's not this year, but I have a feeling it's going to be this year, and I have a feeling that they know that, or they have some type of a feeling. It could be why Cole opted back into his deal and didn't try and, you know, explore the free agent market. Maybe he didn't want to go through, you know, a physical with another team or something like that. Who knows? Okay, but adding Max Fried, if Cole's healthy, gives you I'm going to say right now, the best 1-2 punch in baseball. Okay, you have two legitimate aces at the top of your staff. Fried has been there. He's done that. He's pitched in the postseason. He's pitched in a World Series. All right. He's been there and done that, and that's exactly what the Yankees needed. Yes, 8 years is a lot. Yes, $212 million is a lot. All right. But it's only $27 million a year. And in 5 years, if Fried is still pitching at and, you know, an elite level with the way the market's going, that could be a steal for a starting pitcher. So, you know, it's less than it's three quarters less than what Juan Soto got from the Mets. So the Yankees still have three quarters of that to go and fill out a roster. Now, there's been a lot of trades, trade talk swirling around Kyle Tucker and what exactly the Houston Astros are going to want for him. And the Astros have a lot of interest in Luis Gil from the New York Yankees, a guy who just won the AL Rookie of the Year. Now, that's a steep price to pay for a rookie, and I mean, not for a rookie. That's a steep price to pay for a possible other rental. But I will say this. The Yankees will absolutely not let Kyle Tucker walk if he has a good year, and the Yankees get him. They're not going to let him walk. Tucker is not going to get $765 million. Nobody should. I think a 12-year, $500 million deal is exactly what Kyle Tucker is worth. I think the Yankees will give it to him, and I think the Yankees will be good for a very long time if they get Kyle Tucker. Yes, he's a Houston Astro, and there's been, you know, a lot of beef between the Yankees and the Astros. So some people may think, oh, the Astros don't want to trade with the Yankees. Well, I got news for you. I don't think the Astros really care. The Astros have owned us. It's not like we're trading with the Astros and making the Astros better, a team that we couldn't beat. The Astros owned us, so I don't think they really have any hard feelings against us, you know, especially from the top down. The Astros run a business. They don't like to give people long contracts. The longest contract that they gave was Altuve back in 2019. They just don't really, you know, do those extensions. They let Correa walk. They're going to let Bregman walk, it looks like. You know, they don't really they let Springer walk. You know, they don't really extend their players. So trading Tucker now, I'm afraid that the Cubs are going to get him because the Cubs have a lot to offer. If the Cubs come in with Cody Bellinger, another guy who I want for the Yankees, Isaac Paredes, a couple of the top prospects that they got there, Seiya Suzuki also, you know, they have a lot more to offer the Cubs. But if I'm Cashman, and I know Judge is 32, 33, and I know Cole's 34, and, you know, those are my two best players. My best pitcher, arguably, and by far and away our best hitter. And let's not forget, Stanton's getting up there in age too. He's like 35. So the Yankees have to trade the prospects that they have, even though they rank 29th, and they have the 29th farm system in all of baseball. The Yankees have to trade whatever it is that they have for Kyle Tucker. If it's Luis Gil and Chase Hampton and, you know, Jason Dominguez, so be it. All right, because I don't know what Jason Dominguez is going to be. He's supposed to be good, but what is he actually going to be? Nobody really knows. All right, name me the Yankee prospect that's worked out over the past 10 years besides Aaron Judge. Name me the prospect that's come up, or even better yet, I'll even expand on it. Name me the Yankee prospect that played for the Yankees or that the Yankees traded away and was actually very good. I'm giving you some time to think. You can think about it. There isn't one. There isn't like a real baseball player out there that the Yankees have traded away that was a top prospect in their organization that has come out to another team that they use in a trade, whether it was for Sonny Gray, you know, Aroldis, whatever, okay? There just isn't one. So, Brian Cashman, you have to go out and you have to add Kyle Tucker no matter what it takes, okay? Ben Rice stinks, all right? If they want Ben Rice, I know they want corner infielders, all right? If they want Ben Rice, then trade him Ben Rice. I saw a mock trade earlier today. It was the Yankees getting Kyle Tucker and Ryan Pressly from the Astros, and they were sending back Ben Rice, Chase Hampton, Luis Gil, and one more other Yankees prospect, their number three prospect in their organization. I would do that in a heartbeat. Absolutely do it in a heartbeat. Upgrade the bullpen, something that the Yankees need, and we'll get to that. We'll get to Devin Williams in a little bit. But something that the Yankees absolutely need to upgrade, and the Yankees get more athletic. So Kyle Tucker, Cashman, go get it done. Another guy that I want to talk about that the Yankees are very close to acquiring, from what I'm hearing, is Cody Bellinger. That is almost done, according to, I believe it was Bob Nightingale Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was John Heyman. John Heyman was reporting that the Yankees and the Cubs have made up a bit of ground in their differences between who should, if the Yankees should take on the whole contract. The Yankees want the Cubs to eat some money of it, but apparently, you know, that deal is progressing and it's almost done. So that would be a huge upgrade for the Yankees. They get more athletic and, you know, it's a lefty bat in the lineup. There was a couple of down years for Bellinger after he won the MVP. But he's definitely been, you know, pretty good the past 2 years. Hit 317 2 years ago. He was in the 260s this past year. But, you know, he's a lefty bat. Yes, he has a lot of swing and miss, but he can play center field. He can play right field. He can play first base. You know, he gives you a little bit of versatility, and he also gives you the flexibility to go out and get him, put him in center, get Tucker, and get Alonso or Walker or Bregman, because he could play so many, you know, the different positions that you need. So it's not like, okay, you get Bellinger, now you clog up that position, and you can't go get a first baseman or an outfielder. So I absolutely want Cody Bellinger, but it can't stop there. Okay, we're not replacing Soto with Freed and Bellinger. We're replacing Soto with Freed, Bellinger, Devin Williams, Kyle Tucker, Pete Alonso, at least three of those guys. Alex Bregman, you know, we're replacing Kyle Tucker with those guys. I did read earlier today that the Yankees, I don't think this report is real. I read it earlier this morning. The Astros, there was an article that came out that said the Astros feel like the Yankees are lowballing Kyle Tucker in trade talks and that they're offering crap. I read this morning on my way in, and my first thought was, I think it's BS. I do. I think it's BS because the Yankees, it was already reported by Jack Curry that the Yankees are going to look to move heel in a Tucker trade. And it is said that the Astros have huge interest in acquiring Luis Heel in a Kyle Tucker trade. That's where, you know, it would start. So I think this is just rumors. Rumors are swirling, and they're going to continue to swirl. And I don't know if anything's going to happen soon. I don't know if anything is even going to happen. Okay, this could take a month to figure. We could be sitting here in January 2025, and we still don't know where Kyle Tucker is going to play. All right. So, if I'm the Yankees, I'm going out and I'm getting it done quick, and then I'm trading for Bellinger. I'm getting that deal done. If it's at the 1 yard line, 2 yard, whatever it is, I'm getting it done, and I'm going to trade for Devin Williams because the Yankees need an elite closer in their bullpen. They need an elite bullpen arm. I don't trust Luke Weaver. Yes, he was awesome in the second half of the year. Well, the final quarter of the year and in the playoffs, but I don't trust the guy who stunk for most of his career and all of a sudden he turned it around. I certainly do not trust him. The Yankees need to go out and get some more insurance. They brought back Jonathan Loaisiga, who, that's kind of interesting because it was reported that he signed a deal with the Mets. It was reported that he was going to the Mets, and all of a sudden last night comes out the Yankees signed him. So this is what I mean with these reporters and this reporting, and it's hard to trust really anybody, especially guys that aren't named John Heyman, Bob Nightingale, John Morosi, you know, Jeff Passan. You know, trust the guys, the big guys that have been there and done that, and have the history of the reporting, you know. Once one of those guys come out and say something's official or something's very, very close, then I start to believe it. I do think that the Yankees, you see, like I'm hearing claims too. To switch to the Mets really quick. There claims too that Corbin Burns is going to the Mets, that, you know, is very, very interested in signing with the Mets. But just last night and then the day before, it was said that the Mets were out on Corbin Burns. So nobody really knows anything. All right. Nobody knows anything until it happens. Okay. The Mets left the meeting on Friday with Juan Soto thinking there was absolutely no chance that they could sign Soto. Okay. And there was reports that every team in baseball thought that Juan Soto was going back to the Yankees as early as 5 o'clock on Sunday, the day he signed. And then all of a sudden, Steve Cohen came swooping in, made the offer, and, you know, the Yankees wouldn't go any higher. So that was that. But, you know, things change so quickly in this game. In all free agencies of all of sports, there was a year when Anthony Barr signed a deal with the Jets, and it was done, and they, you know, it wasn't like the signing, but like you couldn't officially sign something. And then he backed out and he wound up staying with the Vikings. So it's like, it's all sports. It's all free agents. It's honestly, it's hard to trust everything you read. You know, there's a lot of I'm reading Twitter right now. Why Astros would trade Kyle Tucker to the Yankees doesn't make a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Imagine if the Yankees announced they traded for Kyle Tucker during the Soto press conference. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be like a big slap in the face. So the Yankees need to make a splash if they want to remain atop the American League. Kyle Tucker presents an opportunity for the team to be even better than they were last season. Here we go. This guy posts on mock trade. Let's see what his Ryan Garcia. Let's see what he says. All right. Yankees Astros blockbuster trade puts New York over the edge. He's got the Yankees sending Luis Gil, Ben Rice, George Lombard Jr., and Chase Hampton. So the number 3 and number 6 prospects in the Yankees organization, the AL Rookie of the Year, and Ben Rice, who I think stinks, but that certainly doesn't sound like a whole lot of crap to me, okay, from that report. Cashman, you should absolutely be offering that, and Kyle Tucker can instantly put you back on top. You're the favorite to win the American League if you get Kyle Tucker. It's pretty much plain and simple. I mean, especially with the Astros falling apart at the seams, going into what seems like a rebuild. I'm sure Houston will wind up going into a soft rebuild because that's what they do. You know, they'll still have Altuve. There's talk about them trading Framber Valdez, who I think the Mets should actually go after. I think the Mets should go after Valdez because I think he'll be cheaper to acquire rather than signing somebody. But yeah, now let's get into the Mets offseason a little bit. So couple of things I want to say about the Mets is you better not stop. You better keep spending. That's really the main thing I want to say to Steve Cohen. You better keep spending because Juan Soto does not put you over the top. You still have no bullpen. Your starting rotation is still flawed. And your lineup is very, very top heavy. And if you lose Alonso and you replace him with Soto, of course your offense gets better. But it's the same lineup that you had last year, just with a lefty hitter who gets on base more. Alonso's going to hit more home runs, and Alonso probably will knock in more runs. All right, but you got a guy that gets on base more. He hits for a higher average. I don't know if that's significantly putting you better, you know, past the Dodgers. But it certainly gives you a fighting chance, but you can't stop there. You got to keep going. You got to add, you know, I would add Corbin Burns. I would try and do whatever it takes to add Corbin Burns. I hear Nick Pivetta's name going around. You lost out on Garrett Crochet to the Boston Red Sox. I would rather you have gotten them. But, man, I'm kind of scared for Boston this year. Boston seems to be playing on a little different of a playing field than they have in years past. You know, they seem to be a lot more aggressive in, you know, free agency, being in on all these big names. But when Boston and the Yankees are both good, baseball's fun. But I don't know. I don't want to see Boston. I don't want to see Boston be good. I don't want to see them start spending again. You know, it kind of put everybody's head in a world spin when they traded Mookie Betts for what they traded him for. I mean, talk about a bad trade. Jesus. Yeah, I mean, that's really what's going on right now in the world of sports, in the world of Yankee sports and Mets sports. But now we're going to switch to the NFL, where the Kansas City Chiefs got lucky once again. You know, I'm getting real tired of the Kansas City Chiefs winning the ways that they win. You know, it's an incredible amount of luck. But the game tonight, the Rams and the 49ers, is certainly a good one. And you know the Rams are going to want to win. You know, they're 7-6, and, you know, they're fighting for that, for a playoff spot, you know. So I expect that game to be very, very fun. The Rams are three-point dogs on the road in San Francisco, so that should be a fun game. Definitely taking the Rams tonight. And then let's get into the Sunday slate, actually. The Cowboys and the Panthers, that should be a snooze fest, as the Panthers are probably favored for the first time in, like, 5 years. Probably the first time since Cam Newton they're favored to win a game. Then you got the Chiefs and the Browns. And, you know, I'll get to my picks later. So I'm actually not going to go through these games right now because I'll break them down when I go through my picks. But let's talk about the Steelers and Eagles. Game of the week this week. The Eagles 5.5-point favorites at home. There's been a lot of turmoil going on in Philly between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and Brandon Graham. It'll be very interesting to see how the team, you know, comes together after that. They're 11-2, so it's kind of interesting to see, you know, these diva wide receivers always having an issue with not getting the ball or something like that. And yes, the Philadelphia offense has not been good passing the ball, but, you know, Hurts and Brown, they got the connection. They'll be all right. I don't think they're going to win this week, though. I think Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go in to Philadelphia and win the Battle of Pennsylvania. I do believe that, and I do think the Steelers will be 11-3. And I'm hoping that Kansas City loses this Sunday. Who does Kansas City play? Kansas City plays the Browns, and they're only 4.5-point favorites. I'm hoping that Kansas City goes into Cleveland and loses. This way, the Christmas Day game will be potentially for the number one seed in the division and the conference, which would be so huge for the Steelers to get home field and get that bye and be able to, you know, have the AFC go through Pittsburgh. That's very important because I think the only game that the Steelers can't win is going to Buffalo. And I think it would be close. So anything could happen, but that's one thing that I don't want to have happen. I think Kansas City is a very vulnerable team. But then again, until they lose, until someone beats them, it's hard to pick against them. You know, if Mahomes has the ball and he needs a field goal or a touchdown, he's going to get it. So that's just the reality of the situation. He's done it, you know, his entire career. The guy doesn't lose. Both playoff pictures in both leagues, you know, they're pretty much, you know, set. I don't see the Colts or the Dolphins catching the Broncos. I mean, if there was one team that I would see catching the Broncos, it would be the Dolphins if they got hot. And in the NFC, it's really just the Rams and the Commanders fighting out for that last spot. Arizona fell off a little bit. The 49ers lose tonight to the Rams. They're out, you would imagine. But yeah, the Rams have a real chance to put themselves right in the thick of things, and I can promise you that the Eagles and the Seahawks and the Lions do not want to see the Rams get in with that offense. They absolutely do not want to see it. You know, Washington Commander fans are got to be wary at this point as they play the Saints, the Eagles, the Falcons, and the Cowboys. They got to be a little concerned that they might not make the playoffs if the Rams get hot, because the Rams play the 49ers tonight. And then if they win, they play the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. So it really does feel like if, you know, the Rams can find a way to rattle off four in a row, they're going to make the playoffs, because I don't see the Commanders winning four in a row when they play the Eagles. I just don't see it happening. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. It's a fun week in the NFL. We're getting into the fun times of the year as the college football playoffs is about to start. You know, they left Alabama out, which that sets up a lot of turmoil for future college football playoff teams. And the committee is certainly not setting a good precedent for college football in the future, because leaving Alabama out, granted, I don't think they deserved to be in, okay? But leaving Alabama out causes the issue of teams are no longer going to schedule tough non-conference games. They're not going to do it. Because if it's going to be held against them, why would they schedule, you know, why would Alabama schedule playing an SEC team like Clemson or Miami or something like that when they could schedule North Dakota State and be undefeated? You know, they could follow the Notre Dame route. They could play a heavy, you know, conference schedule. Notre Dame's not in a conference, but Notre Dame plays an ACC schedule. Okay, that's what they play. And then they'll schedule teams like Miami, Ohio, Northern Illinois. You know, they will schedule teams like that on their schedule rather than playing, you know, high-level schools. You know, rivalries is what makes college football. Okay, Michigan, when they used to play Notre Dame, was awesome. All right, that was an awesome rivalry. It really was. And then, you know, they didn't renew the contract, and that was that. You know, Indiana versus Notre Dame is going to be a great college football playoff game. You know why? Because they are very close to each other geographically. That's what you want. You know, Ohio State, Michigan is a rivalry unlike any other. Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M. Auburn, Alabama, you know, these are fun, you know, Florida State, Florida, Georgia. These are fun rivalries because of where they are geographically. They are actual enemies. You know, that game sometimes I feel like means more to them than winning the national championship, because that's just what it means to them. But all right, we're running out of time here. So I'm going to break down my NFL picks this week. Remember, if you want to make your picks, go to foxsportsnewjersey.com and sign up with your email and make your picks today. So starting off Thursday night, we already spoke about it, the Rams and the 49ers. I already said who I'm taking. I think LA is going to go to San Francisco as three-point dogs and pull off the upset. Then you got the Cowboys and the Panthers. I think the Panthers are going to find a way to win that game. Chiefs, Browns, I'm going to take Cleveland. I think Cleveland, Jameis Winston gets it done. Dolphins, Texans, Miami goes to Houston and wins, in my opinion. So I'm taking Miami. Bengals, Titans, I'm taking the Bengals. Commanders, Saints, I'm going to take, no Derek Carr, I'm going to go the Commanders. Jets, Jaguars, I'm going to take the Jets. Ravens, Giants, I'm going to take the Ravens, but I'm going to be rooting very heavily for the Giants as they are 16-point underdogs. Steelers, Eagles, game of the week, I'm taking Pittsburgh. Colts, Broncos, I'm going to say the Colts go into Denver and win. Bills, Lions, I'm going to take Buffalo, but I'm going to be rooting for the Lions. Buccaneers, Chargers, I'm going to say the Bucs go into LA and win. Patriots, Cardinals, I'm going to take the Cardinals. Packers, Seahawks, I'm going to take Green Bay. Then Monday night, there's two Monday night games. The Bears and the Vikings, I'm going to take the Vikings. And the Falcons and the Raiders, I'm going to take the Falcons. Well, there you have it. Those are my picks for this upcoming Week 15 in the NFL. You know, hopefully by the next time, you know, I come to you, the Yankees have Kyle Tucker, Cody Bellinger, and Pete Alonso. And all of that money that they were going to spend on Juan Soto is certainly spent in a better spot. And the Yankees are much more deeper and much more talented. And hopefully they have Devin Williams. You know, the key to the Yankees offseason now should be taking that money and actually spending it, not holding on to it, spending it, because he just made it to the World Series and Judge and Cole are not getting any younger. Okay, spending it, getting more athletic, getting better fundamentally, becoming a better fielding team, especially now that you have Freed, who pitches to, you know, soft contact. You got to have a good first baseman, and you want to be able to field, you know, all throughout the diamond. So hopefully by the time, you know, I come to you next week, the Yankees have, you know, all three of those guys. I don't know how fast it's going to happen. I don't know how long it's going to take. You know, it could be February, and the Yankees are still talking about getting Kyle Tucker. God, I hope that's not the case. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully the Yankees get Sasaki, too. You know, apparently they have a big presentation, you know, that they're going to show to them when they meet about how he could be a great arm in, you know, New York. But all right, we're running out of time, so I'm going to end it here. Thank you all for listening, and hopefully the Yankees are much better by the next time I come to you. Keeling's Corner, out.